We now turn to Isaiah 40 in our reading of the Old Testament. Isaiah 40, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. And this part of Isaiah is a kind of a separate section from what we've just been through. The recent chapters have been a historical record, and now we're back to prophecy. And it goes on for several chapters. We're just getting the very introduction of this next section of prophecy tonight. And you might recall that Isaiah prophesied at a time that would have been 100 or 150 years before the exiles, before the conquering of Jerusalem and the exiles. And so this prophecy is in part, it's to encourage the people of his day, but their descendants who would be taken into bondage and then brought back by God. So that's the time period that this is written in. And some of the prophecy is fulfilled in their coming back from Babylon back to Jerusalem. Other parts are fulfilled, or it's more greatly fulfilled in the coming of Jesus as the Messiah, and then the final fulfillment of all of it will be the second coming of Jesus as the judge of all the earth. And as we go through the next several chapters in the coming weeks, I'm sure we'll see different parts of it fulfilled at different points, but all in one set of prophecies. So here now, the reading of this from the book of Isaiah, God's Word, chapter 40, 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. And that's as far as we'll read tonight. Comfort, comfort my people. Maybe this is addressed to those who are in exile. Later, this will be 150 years later. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Seems to me this is speaking of the exiles coming back after the 70 years that was prophesied that they would be in exile. And then we have in verse 3, a voice crying. And do these words sound familiar? In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It should sound familiar because this is quoted about John the Baptist, maybe by him as well, in Matthew, Mark, and John. They all quote this as being a reference to John the Baptist. And we know that he was sent ahead of Jesus with a message of repentance and baptism to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and pointing at the Son of God, the one who would give eternal life. I was surprised at how little I could really remember of what was the message of John the Baptist. I know what his mission was, but what were the actual words that he spoke that are recorded in Scripture? And there isn't really a lot there, but at the end of the third chapter of John, he says quite a bit when he's questioned by some people who were, I don't know if they were sent by the Pharisees, but they were questioning his disciples and then came and questioned him, who are you and what are you doing? And he explained very clearly there that not only was he not the one, but the one that he was pointing to was going to pay for sins, and that all those who refused him would be condemned. So his message is the good news that is spoken of later here in this passage in Isaiah. The way for Jesus is what this highway refers to, the making open to people's minds the fact that there would be a Messiah and that they must repent and believe and that there is eternal life and no other. It's to receive the Son of God for eternal life or face judgment and condemnation from God. That was the message of John the Baptist. And verses 6 through 8 are some more familiar terms. All flesh is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Those same phrases are elsewhere in Scripture. And it's interesting, how is it that the grass withers and the flower fades? In verse 7, it's when the breath of the Lord blows on it. And what is it that stands forever? It is the word of our God. You have the breath, the word comes out with breath. You have Jesus, the word, as we're told in John 1. You have the breath of God, which is oftentimes the Holy Spirit is equated with the wind and the breath of God breathing in Genesis. The Spirit breathed life into man. That was the Holy Spirit. And so we have, maybe this is the Trinity here, I don't know. The breath of God, the word of God, and the voice says, cry. The voice of God commanding his prophet to cry out the word of God. Then verses 9 through 11 really begins this lengthy prophecy about the coming of Jesus and the second coming. And the good news is spoken twice here. Get you up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. And it's if you read ahead, verses 12 and so on, we have one of these passages that tells us how magnificent God is, how great and terrible he is, how powerful he is. But it strikes me that at the very beginning of this section where we'll be hearing about the greatness and power of God, It starts with his power. Verse 10, behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. And in other words, he rules by power. But the very next verse is talking about his tenderness and mercy. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom like his most tender possession. And he will gently lead those with young. And so it's as though, as God is revealing this, he's about to tell us about himself, and one of the first things out of his mouth is explaining just how tender and caring and compassionate he is. This is the God we worship tonight, and we will worship forever. Here on earth for a while, and then in heaven forever. Well, let us pray together to our God and bring before him some of the concerns of the congregation. Let's pray. Father, you have made clear in various places, especially in the gospel of our Lord Jesus, but even here in the Old Testament, that you are love and tenderness toward your dear ones. You are terrible toward your enemies, and any who would minimize your word or try to marginalize it or ignore it will be shocked and devastated in the end. But to your dear ones, how tender and caring you are, not allowing anything into our lives that would not be good for us. And we thank you for the comfort and security that we get from those doctrines and that teaching that you've given us in Isaiah. Father, we praise you that you have saved some, and we confess that we're not worthy to be among those some, but you have granted us your Spirit, and so by that you have made it apparent we are among your people, and we are among those lambs that you hold against your breast. What a favored position you've given us, Father. We thank you that your mercy to us did not destroy your righteousness, but you have paid for our sins fully and completely. And you are still perfectly just, even though you allow sinners into your presence. It's a marvelous thing, Father, and we thank you that you have shown that to us in the gospel of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the measure of recovery that you've given Larry Manneman and Larry Maxwell in the health problems they've had recently. We praise you that you have brought them both back from very difficult medical situations. And we pray that you would grant a full recovery to both of them and continue to hear our prayers for them. We pray for Sharon Boss that you would continue to strengthen her and restore her to full strength. And we ask for Bob and Marie that you would grant them relief from their afflictions and strengthen them. We pray for Bob as he brings the word to us in a few minutes, that you would strengthen him for that task, even beyond what he imagined he could do. And bring yourself glory in upholding your servants as they minister to the word to your lambs. Father, you know the situation we have with the church property and the need we have to find a place that's less expensive for the congregation. We pray that you would bring about the sale that is in process right now, if that would please you and be good for us. And remove every obstacle and answer our prayers in completing this, if it would be your will. Father, we pray for the Barnes family, that you would return them safely to us this week, and that you would grant them refreshment and strengthening in their souls as well as their bodies, and good visits with their loved ones. Father, we ask for Becky, that you would sustain her and strengthen her, especially tomorrow morning and tomorrow evening as she does this new commute and engages with a new babysitter for Deng. We pray that you would give her skill in driving and wisdom in navigating the bus system, and give her success in those things, we pray. And we ask for her husband, John, as he is in South Sudan now, that you would protect him and give him success tomorrow as he begins the process of getting that visa renewed that he needs in Nairobi, and return him safely there to his aunts where he lives. And we pray that the interview at the embassy would come about soon, and that you would give him success in that, and that there wouldn't be any objections raised about his unconventional wedding or anything else. But we pray that all of the obstacles would be removed, and that you would bring him to be with Becky soon, and answer our many prayers for him in that. Father, we pray for our children, that you would grant them the favor that you granted those rebels of your people when you said you would bring in their children. So bring in our children, Father, we pray. Grant them the grace that you have shown to us, and be merciful to these dear ones that you have given us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.